Blog Talk Radio.
For my body, your blood for my blood. Praise the Lord. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of United Christian Ambassadors Radio, also known as UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. I am your host, Pastor T. Meyer McCain, and I would like to welcome all of my faithful UCA members and visitors and friends. Stay with me for this 1 hour as I preach on the Jews and the Gentiles. I have a question. Christians, are you a Jew or a Gentile? This is something that has the Christian and the people of Israel baffled. What's going on? Most Jews do not want to even hear anyone talk about Jesus, and most Christians are so busy trying to bless all of Israel, because they say that Israel is God's chosen people. But where does that leave Christians? We are going to examine more clearly what Jesus did for both Jews and Gentiles when he died on the cross. What was God's purpose for Jesus dying on the cross? Was it so that Christians, Jews, and Gentiles could remain separate? The word Gentile means other nations. We are living in a time when Christians need to know where they stand. Are they God's people or not? And the Jews need to know where they stand. Are they God's people or not? It is a mystery that must be uncovered, and it must be unveiled. It shall be. The question is, Who are God's people in this hour, the Jew or the Christian? Well, by God's grace, we will uncover the mystery. I pray that after this message, you will know the difference between a Jew and a Gentile, between a Jew and a Christian. You will know. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We'll be right back after this. Glory to God.
Yeah.
listening to UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. UCA stands for United Christian Ambassadors. And as you've heard me say many times, all true believers, workers, and disciples of Jesus Christ are ambassadors for Christ, which makes you a UCA member. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father God, touch the hearts and the minds and the spirits of every person listening to this broadcast today. Lift them up, Lord, to a higher level in you. Help their walk to be a closer walk with you. Give them understanding. Lord, give them the spirit of revelation, which is the Holy Spirit, so that they will understand your message for today and that they will allow your word to live in them so that they can use your word at an appointed time according to the leading of your spirit. Let it be done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Our message today, we're talking about Jews and Gentiles and Christians. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There are many conflicts and disagreements when it comes to Christians and Jews, physical Israel and spiritual Israel. But why? What many people haven't considered is the first Christians were Jews. The whole Jewish community considered them Jews during that time. But both the physical Jewish people and Christians of today never stop to consider that Israel gave birth to Christianity. Christianity was a small remnant of Jews in the beginning that grew from out of the nation of Israel. But ultimately, Jews and Gentiles, and by the way, Gentiles meaning other nations, are to become one in Christ. Let me repeat that. Jews and Gentiles are to become one in Christ, which means a Jew becomes a Christian and a Gentile becomes a Christian. Are then Jews? Jews mean, by the way, chosen people. We are to be one in Christ. Paul really explained this beautifully, and all people have to do is read your Bible and allow the Holy Spirit to give them understanding in what is being said. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. This is Paul speaking about Jesus. Jesus having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, that is to say two people, the Jew and the Gentile, one man, the Christian. Let me repeat that. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, of two, one new man. So making peace, and that he might reconcile both the Jew and the Gentile unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Making one, this is God's will, the Jew and the Gentile to make one. Ephesians 2, verse 16 through 22. And by the way, enmity means hostility, hatred, antagonism, animosity, ill will, and bad feelings. The Lord is putting that away because he's bringing both Jew and Gentile to be one man, a Christian man, follower, and believer of Jesus Christ. So he's doing away with all the things that separates us. Continuing, and it came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off. That's the Gentiles. See, after he had slain the enmity thereby, after the Lord had took away all of that, he came and preached peace to you which were afar off, the Gentiles, and to them that were nigh or near, the Jews. For through him we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit, which is, of course, the Holy Spirit, unto the Father. Both of us, through Christ Jesus, have access by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to God the Father. He is still referring to both Jew and Gentile. Continuing, now therefore ye, you Gentiles who accepted Jesus Christ, are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, the Christian Jews, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. We together grow to a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Both Jew and Gentile now becoming one, becoming a Christian. Now we build, we are a house of which God, through the Spirit, can make his habitation in. God is going to join us together as one house, one people, with God dwelling in us, individually and collectively. This is for Jews and Gentiles, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I have sheep which are not of this fold. Who could these other sheep be? The answer is us. Us, those of us who were considered Gentiles. The apostles were told at first to go to the lost sheep of Israel. Then later, after his resurrection, he sent them into all the world. Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the gospel to every creature. That means Jew and Gentile. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Jew or Gentile, but he that believeth not shall be damned or condemned, Jews or Gentiles. Nothing has changed. We still have to complete this great commission, going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. This is the same commission given to Adam and Eve in the beginning when the Lord said, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it. But Adam and Eve never completed the Great Commission. However, God's church of anointed Christian people, which is a mixture of Jews and Gentiles, will complete the Great Commission. We are not only going to multiply and replenish the earth with born-again people in the full likeness and image of God, but we are also going to subdue the earth. Well, what does that mean? It means that we are going to subjugate, conquer, vanquish, defeat, overpower the forces of evil, and take control. You see, Adam and Eve in the beginning were supposed to keep law and order on the earth. They were the gods of the earth. Oneness was God's plan even from before the day he called Abram and changed his name to Abraham. God made his promise to Abram or Abram way back then. He told him something that would come to pass in our day or later on, hundreds or even thousands of years after Abraham. The changing of Abraham's name gave opportunity for the world to be converted to God. Therefore, he confirmed his promise by changing Abram's name to Abraham, which means a father of many nations or exalted father. Genesis 17, verses 4 and 5. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, He's talking to Abraham. And thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall your name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made you. God promised Abraham a seed. And that seed that God was referring to was not Isaac, although God blessed Abraham with Isaac, his physical seed. Isaac was his physical seed. So he wasn't really referring to Isaac with this promise at this point. And he did bless him in his old age with a baby. And this was in order. Isaac was born in order to start the generations from Abraham to Mary. It took Isaac to start it. Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac started it. The generations that led from Abraham to Mary, or from Isaac to Mary, which is where the promised seed was to truly come forth. But that promised seed was Jesus. It was God manifested in the flesh. It was God himself. The promised seed, Isaac was a type of the promised seed, but the real promised seed was Jesus, God himself in the flesh. The Jewish Christians in the early church still considered Gentiles, meaning, like I said, other nations, as being unclean. The Jewish Christians now, I'm talking about, in the early church, they still considered Gentiles as being unclean until the Lord showed Peter that he must share the gospel to the Gentiles. Remember that? Peter had to understand what God has cleansed shall not be considered unclean anymore. He had to understand that. Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 16. On the morrow, now we're talking about Peter, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city. Now these were people that were sent to where Peter was while they were on their journey, and they start approaching the city. They were getting closer to the city. Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, while they were preparing the food, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending upon him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts. Now, this is a vision that God had given him. Wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Now, common means dirty, profane, unwashed. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." In other words, if I've cleaned it, it's no longer common. This was done thrice or three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. God had sent an angel to Cornelius, a Gentile, and told him to send for Peter. But Peter didn't understand all of this at first, but it became clear to him that he must preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. All the different animals in his vision represented Gentiles, which, like I said, means other nations. When Peter preached to the Gentiles, this is what happened. Acts 10, verses 44 through 48. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word, all the Gentiles The Holy Spirit fell on them, and they of the circumcision, which were the Jews, you know, that were with Peter, the Jewish Christians that were with Peter, all of them, they saw this happen. All of them which believed, they were astonished. As many as came with Peter, all of those that came with Peter, they saw the Holy Spirit fall on Gentiles, and they were astounded, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? Peter said, how can I not baptize these people? They received the Holy Spirit just like we have. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. They wanted him to stay with them. The Gentiles received the Holy Spirit just like the Jews, and the Gentiles only heard about Jesus. They knew nothing of the laws of Moses, yet many of the Christian Jews wanted to keep the Gentile Christians tied to the law. Many of the Christian Jews that were of the party of the Pharisees, who were more of the religious sect, went among the Gentiles, teaching that Gentile Christians must be circumcised. And it became a big dispute and debate between some of the Christian Jews against Paul and Barnabas. The argument got so heated that they had to bring this issue to the council at Jerusalem among the apostles and elders. This was a big deal. But once they found out that Gentiles was being received by God, just like Jews, they had questions. Should they command the Gentiles to follow the Torah and all the laws of Moses and be circumcised as well? This was a big problem. But not even the traditional Jews were able to keep all the laws of Moses themselves. So why put Jewish laws, customs, and traditions on new converts among the Gentile Christians? Then James, known as the brother of Jesus, who seemed to be the leader of the apostles, gave his answer to them in Acts chapter 15, verses 19 through 21. Therefore, it is my judgment, this is James talking, that we do not trouble those who are turning to God from among the Gentiles. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols. That means, food that was offered to idols. From sexual immorality, and that's all kind of fornication and sexual immorality. From meat, from the meat of strangled animals. Now, these are animals that are killed by strangulation because the blood is still in them. And from blood, abstain from blood. This could be to refrain from shedding blood and or drinking blood. For the law of Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest times and is read in the synagogues on every Sabbath. So in other words, they're saying that, you know, they can go to the synagogues where the laws of Moses are being read every Sabbath day. The Jewish Christians that had understanding didn't want the new Gentile Christians, the new Gentile converts, to be bound by their traditions, by their Jewish traditions, customs, and culture, not even bound by the letter of the law concerning circumcision, but still wanting them to know God. The Christian Jews wanted to keep the new converted Christian Gentiles away from doing these ungodly things, because that was the only way that the Jewish Christians could fellowship with the Gentile Christians. You know, they didn't necessarily have to follow all of the traditions of the Jews, but they were required to abstain from certain things. so that the Jewish Christians could fellowship with the Gentile Christians. So here's the question. What is true circumcision? This is what Paul said later about circumcision, which is something that theologians, Jewish rabbis, Christians, pastors, and evangelists should really take note of and believe. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew, listen carefully, he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. You are circumcised in your heart. If you are circumcised inwardly in your heart, then you are a Jew. You've been converted to Jesus Christ. Your circumcision is in your heart. Therefore, you, Christian, you are a Jew. This made it clear that because of Jesus Christ, an Israelite and a Gentile who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ can now become a Jew, a spiritual Jew, because both are now Christians. During the early days, Gentile Christians were welcomed in the synagogues where they could learn of the Torah and get more of an understanding of the book of Psalms, the prophets, and even the laws of Moses, if they desired to. The Christian Jews wanted them to have more of a revelation of Jesus Christ. So the Gentile Christians went to the synagogues every Sabbath for a while. But the stout, non-believing, traditional Jewish community would not allow Gentiles into the temple. Wouldn't allow Gentiles into the temple, whether you're Christians or not. This is where the separation of the Jewish Christians from the traditional Jewish community slowly began. Traditional non-believing Jews believed that they should have no fellowship with Gentiles whatsoever. They didn't want the temple to be defiled with Gentiles. Okay, so what happened? Why the separation today? Why is it that Jews do not see Christians as Jews, and the Christians still consider themselves as Gentiles? The separation started around 60 to 70 AD. The Jews began to rebel against the Roman Empire, and as a result of this, the Romans invaded Israel and destroyed the Jewish temple, and the people scattered. The Romans were so upset with the Jewish people that they also levied a tax just to punish the Jews. It was called the Fiscus Judicus tax. The Fiscus Judicus tax. This tax was for taxing only the practicing Jews, those that practiced Judaism. Now, during this time, the early church, which were primarily Jews, and the Romans didn't think that Christianity was a different religion from Judaism. At this time, the Romans didn't consider the Christian Jews and regular, you know, the regular Judaism as being separate. They just considered them a part of the same thing. If anything, the Christian Jews probably considered themselves as a sect within Judaism. However, because of the taxing of the Jews, which gathered every Sabbath at the synagogues, and anyone who practiced Jewish things pertaining to the religious Jewish traditions and customs were taxed. So the early church petitioned the emperor to distinguish the Christians as a separate religion to avoid paying the Fiscus Judicus tax, since it only pertained to Judaism. So they no longer went to the synagogues. Therefore, the Gentiles, or the Gentile Christians, and some of the Jewish Christians started having services at their houses. And they were growing, but without the knowledge of the teachings of the Old Testament, the prophets and the Book of Psalms and the Torah. And because of this, the church was looking less and less Jewish. There were many reasons that Judaism separated from Christianity. There were many reasons why that happened. Judaism separated from Christianity. The Jews separated from the Christians. But the main reason was Satan himself. There were many physical reasons, but it was all backed by Satan himself. He was the main reason for the separation of Jews and Christians. No matter how political it seemed, Satan was behind it. The split took place in the first century AD. Here are some of the reasons for the split. Number one, the rejecting of Jesus as the Messiah. That separated a lot of them. Number two, the Council of Jerusalem separated a lot of them. Number three, the destruction of the Second Temple. That caused a separation. And number four, the Jewish tax in 70 AD. And then number five, the Council of Jamnia, the Council of Jamnia, which was the council of the Jewish authorities who decided to exclude believers of Jesus Christ from the synagogues altogether. Many believed it was this council to whom John was referring to in John chapter 9, verse 22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. Remember when Jesus healed the blind man? Well, his parents spoke to them and told them that they don't know what happened and all of that, how he got healed and all of that. And they spoke those words because they feared the Jews. For the Jews, meaning the Council of Jamnia, they feared the Council of Jamnia. They had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, he should be put out of the synagogue. And this was something that Jews they couldn't take being kicked out of the synagogues. There was another reason, a sixth reason, number six, that the Jewish Christians separated themselves from the traditional Jews, and that was the Bar Kokhba revolt. Bar Kokhba means son of light. This person was a man that led a revolt in 132 AD, of which many in Judaism believed him to be the Messiah, and they followed after him. Of course, it came to nothing. They were looking for him to deliver them out of the hands of the Romans, but that didn't work. This caused even the remaining Jewish Christians to separate from the Jews in the synagogues even more, because they knew from the words of Jesus and the epistles or letters of Paul and the other apostles that false messiahs was going to come. So they took no part in this revolt. So they were looked upon as traitors. The Christian Jews were looked upon as traitors by the traditional non-believing Jewish community. Therefore, the Christian Jews separated themselves. You must understand that when the New Testament was written, Judaism was not a singular movement. There were several groups within Judaism. You had the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Essenes, and some of the Jews that believed in Jesus were known as Nazarenes. All of these different movements were in Judaism. And as they separated within themselves, they began to be more and more detached one from another until the Christian Jews were kicked out of the synagogues also. They were cursed and no longer considered Jews by either groups. Then came the days of Constantine, who is thought to be the first pope. He had a vision of the cross and was told to conquer in the name of the cross. Constantine was an anti-Semite, a person who was hostile or prejudiced against Jews. Constantine unified the Roman Empire with some Christian beliefs, which further pushed the traditional Jews away from Christianity completely. This was all a move of Satan to keep God's people from unifying and becoming a powerful people against Satan and his demons. Satan keeps a veil over the face of Christians today by keeping us separated into denominations and separating Jews to keep them from knowing that Jews and Gentiles are to become one nation in Jesus Christ under God the Father. People today, both Christians and Jewish Christians, still don't understand that a Jewish Christian is still a Jew. And a Gentile Christian is also a Jew, because we are both the end product of the promise given to Abraham. So why then do Christians and most Christian leaders believe and teach their congregation that we are replacing the Jewish people? This is totally false. Although there are a few uninformed Christian pastors and evangelists that are teaching this theory. It's called the replacement theory. But in reality, it should be a teaching of oneness. Here's something else that Paul said that can shed a little light on the subject. Romans chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Through Jesus Christ, the promised seed, Abraham has become the father of many nations, Jews and Gentiles. And we have become the children of the promise, along with whosoever believes and have received Jesus Christ. And now these nations are to become one nation under God, as it is written, the kingdoms of this world has become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Every true believing Christian today is the promised seed. We are the seed of the promise, the seed that the Lord has blessed because Jesus dwells within us. We must understand that Christians are not Gentiles. Stop calling yourself a Gentile. But all other nations that do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are Gentiles. We are the blessed seed. Isaiah 61, verse 9. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. Because Jesus Christ, who is our incorruptible seed, he is the incorruptible seed, dwells within us. You know, Christ in you, the hope of glory, he dwells in us. This is a mystery that hath been revealed to us, his saints, but still a mystery among the Gentiles, until the day that we unveil Jesus Christ, who is within us, to the world. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, among the other nations. And here's the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We read in Scripture that the Holy Spirit fell on the Gentiles just like he did on the Jews, which shows that God is no respecter of persons. Physical Israel was chosen in the beginning to be a light that would lead other nations to God, but they blew it many times as they went a-whoring after other gods, and then finally rejecting the true Messiah. But God is still gathering his people together in this hour, both Jews and Gentiles. Romans chapter 9, verse 24 through 26. Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he saith in OC, also in OC, which is the name of a prophet, Hosea or Hoshea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, the Gentiles, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. It's referring to the Gentiles, the other nations, and they received the Lord Jesus Christ. Now they are children, sons and daughters of God. God is calling his people from out of the world even today. He is calling them out of religions, out of witchcraft, out of an ungodly lifestyle, out of bondage to sin and to ungodly governments, out of secret societies and ungodly organizations, even out of pagan Christianity and out of Jewish traditions, and out of spiritual Babylon, which is spiritual Egypt and the Roman empires of today. He is calling us out of traditional Judaism and out of all Gentile nations to be joined to him for the purpose of entering into his kingdom and into oneness in him. So let us take heed and answer his command. He says, come out of her, my people. But it seems as if God is having a hard time with many of the ministers of today. They seem to be continually preaching and teaching things that are contrary to the true word of God. They are continually teaching separation between Christians and Jews, when the real Christian is a mixture of Gentiles and Jews becoming one in Christ Jesus. That's true Christianity. Amen. That's our message for today. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to the King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, there you have it. There you have it. Thank you, Lord. All right, we're going to go ahead and end today. We want to thank everybody for coming in and for tuning in, tuning into the program. I hope you were enlightened by this message. Praise the Lord. I really, truly hope you are. Remember, we're here every week at 3 p.m. Pacific time. So just check your time zone. You can dial in or you can listen to us from your computer. So, and also remember, Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Pacific time, we have Christian Talk, and we always have special guests. So tune in to there also. We're going to end with Jonathan McReynolds, Make Room. God bless you all. See you next week.
I find space for what I treasure. I make time for what I want. I choose my priorities, and Jesus, you're my number one. So I
You can pull that off.
find space for what I treasure. I make time for what I want. I choose my priorities. Jesus, you're my number one.
Hallelujah. You're listening to UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. Thank you for tuning in. I'm your host, Pastor Timar McCain of Church of Jesus Christ Ministry and Church on the Phone. So join us again next week. Thank you for tuning in. Tell your friends and family to tune in to hear music and a message with Pastor Timar McCain on UCA Radio. Goodbye now, and God bless.